Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace. And that all the heads of government worldwide make their decisions out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Noticing our thoughts, releasing thoughts of the future or the past, and presencing ourselves to right now. Envision a bright silver light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning silver disc, lighting up your back, all the way up to the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Focusing our attention on our point between the eyebrows. Know that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God, the fullness of wisdom, intelligence, creativity, and unconditional love. Being omnipresent, it expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me. This morning I take a stand if ever a mountain presents itself in my life. I do not resist or fight it. I do not run or flee from it. I do not freeze or become immobile. Rather, I see the mountain, this obstacle, not as a problem or even a challenge. I see it as a project awaiting my understanding, awaiting my consciousness, and awaiting my action to go around it, to climb it, to tunnel under it, move through it, and disappear it. Anything that I have perceived as a mountain in my life, I can transform it in consciousness and see it as a grand adventure, a peak experience that can and will bring me to a new level of awareness, a heightened consciousness that I could choose to say, thank you for this experience. I'm thankful for this conscious realization this morning of who I really am. I'm thankful for each person gathered here in spiritual community. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I am thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. My topic this morning is moving mountains. So the question is, have you ever felt like you've been between a rock and a hard place in your life? I know I have. Have you ever experienced some challenges and some problems in your life? I know I certainly have. I think if there's anyone here that has never felt that way or had that in their life, I think you're on the wrong planet. I'd like to speak with you after service. So three things I'd like to address this morning in Moving Mountains. To acknowledge, number one, that we all do have them from time to time. And number two, are we willing to be the embodiment of what we teach here at the center, which is really what Jesus the Christ, the Avatar, taught? These things that I do and greater things shall you do? Or what else is in Scripture is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when we're saying that here at the center, we're not just speaking about Jesus the man, we're speaking about the consciousness that he was. The consciousness that lived with no barriers to its full self-expression. The consciousness that was the power of love in full expression. And then number three, what happens to so-called good people when seeming bad things happen to them? I'll get back to that one in a few minutes. Scott Peck wrote a book, several books. I think it was, it might have been a different drum. But he began the book by saying, life is difficult. So when I read that, I thought, I didn't fully agree with it. I thought, life can be difficult. But if we just say that life is difficult, what are we creating for ourselves? Where are we standing in our consciousness with that? It's good for us to remember that life is a process, and that we could actually acknowledge that the process that we're in our life is a miracle in the making. And of course, we're going to have ups, we're going to have downs, we're going to have highs and lows, and there's going to be peaks and valleys. As I addressed in the meditation, you know, when we're thinking about problems, challenges, mountains, there's, you know, when we think of a mountain, we can do different things with it. We can go around it. We can climb it. We can tunnel under it. We can go right through it. Or we can maybe disappear it. I remember one of my colleagues, and many of you met him because we had him here as a guest speaker many years ago. He's now made his transition. Dr. Tom Costa was one of the elderly New Thought ministers in California. And he said it this way, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not build a condo there." And that's true, you know. It's like some people move in. They have this challenge or whatever you want to call it, and they kind of move in. And they talk about it, and they amplify it, and they tell a lot of people about it. I'm not saying don't ever share your challenges, because there's power in that too. But it's don't move in and be speaking about it all the time. You know, and a single cell amoeba, I'm having difficulty with my pronunciations this morning, dies whenever it goes 24 hours with no challenge and no stimulation. If it's in a totally sterile environment, it'll die. I think we're kind of like that too, you know. We sometimes think that challenge is bad. We just want our life just to be chickity-boo all the time. But let me give you another few examples that I was just reading about. Many years ago, fishing for codfish was a very lucrative commercial business. And they simply froze the fish. But there was a major problem in distribution. So when they froze the fish, after the codfish were frozen, it lost its taste. So then the owners of the shipping company decided to get a huge tank filled with fresh seawater. And they thought that would solve the problem. But the fish were inactive in the tank, and they became soft and mushy. And once again, they lost their taste. Well, then somebody thought of the bright idea of putting some catfish in the tank with the codfish. Now, catfish are a natural enemy of codfish. So the tank as it was traveling around the country, the codfish had to stay alert and active and be on the outlook for the catfish. And amazingly, when the tank arrived at the destination, the codfish were as fresh and tasty as if they had just been caught. That's interesting. Ah, that was very interesting when I read that. Another example. Some bumblebees were taken along on a space mission for a study on the effects of weightlessness. Similar to humans in space, the bees floated around with great ease. They didn't even seem to need to use their wings. But after 3 days, all the bees died. They enjoyed the ride, but they didn't survive. See, bees were not meant to go through life without using their wings and not having any resistance. In the same way, you and I are not made to float through life like on a flowery bed. So we are meant to have a few different things bumped up against us. We might call them mountains or challenges or problems, but they keep us active and alive, I think. Now, it's not about being immersed in them all the time and having the stress of living that way all the time. But when I look in my own life and I think of some of the mountains and some of the challenges that I've lived through, most of them I have seen and looked at them later on, and I saw them as actually an adventure and a peak experience in my life. Can we think of them as divine refinement? Can we think of ourselves as work in progress and not a finished product? Can we think of them whenever we're up against it as a type of purification, if you will? We can find out what we're really made of. It can bring to light impurities or weaknesses. But for me, I think a weakness is an opportunity for us to grow through. So I don't even like to use the word weakness. But it can bring up areas in our life where we do need to grow and where we do need to change. We also can look to see if we ever run away from things. We can develop a backbone and stability through going through challenges, and to realize that the universe, or we could say God, isn't finished with us yet. We're a work in progress. So look at it as a molding and a refining. Sometimes when things grate on us, look at it this way. It could be rubbing off our rough edges. Could be rubbing off our rough edges. So I said a little earlier, are we willing to be the embodiment of what we teach here at the center, that matter obeys the intent of consciousness? All the things that we teach from a metaphysical standpoint are in scripture. However, the languaging is different because the people that wrote it and the people that were talking about it in those days, of course, used different languaging because it was a different culture and a different era. But I'm thinking in one case where Jesus said to a man, pick up your bed and walk. He didn't say, what are you taking for the ailment? Right? Do we hold these things and greater things shall you do? Do we hold that as a possibility for ourselves? Or do we kind of just read that over or maybe skip that line? So it's good for us to look at. Are we really living the spiritual principles that would elevate our consciousness? Are we being bold? Do we live the virtues? Do we risk? Do we trust the truth of who we really are as spiritual beings going through a human experience? Do we really like stand in that? And do we remember that we're not alone? Someone was saying to me recently, I feel very, very alone. So sometimes we're separated from our loved ones, or our family moves away, or we move away from them, and maybe a relationship ends, and we might feel alone at that point, but it's to remember that we're never alone. There's always other people around us, and it's not that, it's not only about other people, it's we're never alone in that, you know, it's difficult to language it sometimes because it's very easy to go back into old thought thinking. It's like God is always with you. Sorry. When we have that word with, it's like we're here and something or someone else is here. It's remember that we are immersed in that universal life force, consciousness, God, whatever you want to call it. We're immersed in it, and we can never be separate from it. So we are never alone. We are never alone. But it's not an entity up in the sky that we want to call into our presence. It's not a just a especially a man with a big beard watching us. I mean, that's really old thought. It's about universal consciousness, universal intelligence, universal wisdom, universal love. The power of love, not the emotion of love. So when we're up against anything, can we look to see how are we with that? You know, in the animal realm, they fight, flight, or freeze. That's what animals do. We're a much higher state of consciousness than the animals. But many times people revert to that animal consciousness. They fight and argue, and amplify that to war. Or they flight. Do you turn away from a conflict? Do you remove yourself and never address it? Do you run away from a problem or a challenge? Or there's freezing. Do you just kind of get immobilized and not do anything? You don't fight, you don't flight, but you're kind of immobilized and kind of walking around in a trance. Can we instead see ourselves as clay that is being molded through this challenge, if you will, and realize that clay is pliable and moldable, and we are that way also? The challenge may be an opportunity for a grand adventure at the other side. It may be an opportunity for a springboard to catapult you into new levels of excellence, new levels of relationship, new levels of health. You know, I'm not in the middle of the 10-week series Love at the Core that we offer once a year. We're in week 3. And the other day I was doing this illustration, which I've done several times at the center, but I think it's good for us to remember. When we take a stand for anything, say we take a stand for love, or we take a stand for relationship, or we take a stand for health and healing, or we take a stand of, I'm abbreviating here, we take a stand for prosperity. You know, that's how we be in the universe with physical things, with the substance of the universe, and how we are with our jobs, and whether we're in the free flow or whether we're in scarcity. When we take a stand, see, it's something like this. There may be some things in our consciousness, in our life, that when we take a stand for any of these things, what will happen is the things that are not in alignment with that will start to surface and come out. So in Love at the Core, I was saying, you know, in this 10-week series, what may start to happen for you is a lot of challenges around relationships may happen. Because when you take a stand for love and relationship, anything that is unlike it will surface. Why? Because the universe is so supportive of us. It will come up so that we can look at it and say, that can't live with this. This thing that's coming up can't live with this stand that I'm taking. Or say with health and healing. We take a stand for health and healing. A lot of little physical things might come up. You might have some quirks and pains and little things that come up that you may even have to go to a health practitioner or a doctor. You think, my God, I made a stand for health. How come this is happening? Rather than say that, it's like, yay. This is surfacing now for me to handle it. This is surfacing now for me to be consciously aware that whatever is surfacing, cannot live with the stand that I have taken for health and healing. Same thing with prosperity. You'll get a lot of Williams in the mail, a lot of bills in the mail. Or some people will come to you and remind you that maybe you owe them money. Or I don't know what. You think, I took a stand for prosperity and all this stuff is happening? That what is surfacing cannot live in the face of this that you've taken a stand for. So just know that when those things come up, they're mountains to move through, climb under, tunnel through, disappear, handle. That's your project. You see, I've spoken many times. Do we call it problem, challenge, or project? This is your project surfacing here. Yeah. The challenge may be becoming so that you can be, I don't even want to say a better person, but you can be you can operate and live out of a higher state of consciousness. And there's no shortcuts. You know, somebody could say, work out your own salvation. And salvation is not only about praying for delivery or relief. It's constantly working, we could say with God, but I don't like to say with God. It's constantly working, knowing we're immersed in God and dealing with the challenge at hand in a transformative way and taking a stand that it is, can, and is happening now, transforming now. See, all things can work together for good if we allow them. So sometimes, you know, we see other people that they're in upset. Just remember that they have wounds that we know not of. And they too are spiritual beings going through a human experience. They too have their challenges. There's a key question that we can ask ourselves. How do I want to experience this? How do I want to be through this? Do I want to be wimpy? Do I want to be a drama queen or king? Do I want to be a victim? Or do I want to stand in and remember who I really am as a spiritual being? Do I want to stand in knowing that I am strong spiritually, that spiritually I'm powerful, that I'm a divine being of love and light, and that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to move through this mountain or climb around it or whatever? You know, it's not so much what happens in our life, it's how we respond to it. I just heard somebody quote that on television just very recently, and they were saying that it's 10% is what happens to us, 90% is how we be with it, how we respond to it rather than react. And it's all in that, how we are with it. Sometimes people say to me, well, it's easy for you, Gail, you know, you're a minister and you've got a degree in metaphysical philosophy and you know this stuff. And hey, you know, I've had some challenges in my life, and especially before I even took the training that I did take, but even since then. I mean, I came from a family of origin, a mother and father, mother never expressed her love to us. One time I said to her, would you please tell me you love me? And she pushed me away. And my father was an alcoholic. My mother died when I was 16. My dad died when I was 19. I've been without parents for a long, long time. I was molested sexually as a child several times by a cousin who I looked up to as an uncle. And I didn't tell anyone until I was in my 30s because I thought that I would be blamed. I supported my late husband through a lot of healing challenges, but a long time ago in the 70s, he had a stroke that he wasn't supposed to have lived through. We were building our new dream home. We had a small real estate company, and here's my husband, unconscious, the doctor saying he's going to be a vegetable if he wakes up, you better pray he dies. Well, knowing the principles that we know and having been immersed in the conferences that we went to that teach the same kind of principles that I address here every Sunday, we knew that there is only one healing power, that it resides within us, and it's according to our image and vision. So he was totally healed within 3 months. And I supported him through that and lived through that and looked after the real estate company and looked after the children. We blended together 9 children when we got married. That was a mountain. A very good mountain, but that was a mountain. A year after that challenge, we had a very traumatic automobile collision where my life was at risk. I mean, I was supposed to die that night. Three-quarter-ton truck came through a red light in my door at 60 miles an hour. My liver broke in half. I was bleeding internally. They sewed me up after packing me with sponges, and I didn't die. A couple days later, they opened me up and took out the sponges and thought that for sure I'd start hemorrhaging then and die, but I didn't. And within 3 months, I was running down the beach in Hawaii. I'm just kind of encapsulating a few of my mountains. So that's not about easy for you, Gail. You know, speaking about the blended family, you know, that I actually took some parenting lessons and workshops then because I realized that I was modeling too much of my own parents. And that really helped, and I went to a family life education council in Edmonton. We were living in Edmonton then. And I actually took enough training that the first workshop that I taught, even before I became a minister, was on blended families. Because I knew we had been through every challenge that blended families had. So I knew that my husband and I could make a difference that way. So he and I used to go out and speak to a couple of tough love groups. But it made me a more open person, a more honest person. And those challenges grew me. Then there was starting the center in Edmonton. We started a center like this that is still going strong. It's doing very, very well in Edmonton. And I had not gone to a university or college or school that taught how to start a center. And then 2 years later, we moved here and didn't know anybody, 2-3 people, and started this center. And of course, this center has had its ups and downs. Right now, we're in a valley because of our attendance, things like that. But, you know, we've had other challenges before too. We were at the University Heights Shopping Center for a couple of years, and we actually set up our Sunday service in the movie theater there. The other day we went to the movie and we sat in the same theater, and I was sitting there remembering back when we had to set up church on a theater stage, and we had to take it down within 16 minutes after service ended, and the popcorn was popping as we walked out. And then, you know, we hit a real mountain there because a big store moved away. We were on the third floor. We had a bookstore, and there was hardly anybody going up there. This center has survived very well with consciousness of people, attendance, and financial contribution. And 1 year, we had 8 families that were tithers to the center that moved away. If that didn't hurt us, I'll say it. And sometimes people don't even know what tithing is. Well, of course, tithing is giving 1/10 of your income to where you are spiritually fed. But I don't even look at it as a tenth. I just say proportional giving. You know, look to see if you're supporting something that spiritually nourishes you. But that was a big valley and a big mountain that we were up against at the time. When we purchased this building, we went from 150, 100 people at the university to 30 to 40 people. And then gas prices went up and we went down lower because people wouldn't drive so far. So, you know, there's always like this, you know, like this. And the truth is, Victoria is very, very fortunate in that we have so many New Thought ministries. I don't know any other city in that is our size in the United States or Canada that has so many New Thought ministries, just for a city that has 300,000 people or a little bit over. I was speaking to my colleague in Edmonton that has a New Thought ministry there, and I think there's about three or four centers there now, but when we left, there were just two. And I said, if you took it over and made it proportional with population, our population to Edmonton's, Edmonton would have 18 New Thought ministries. Well, I wonder how many people would be coming into 18 New Thought ministries. Now there's only two or three or four, so each of them has 50 to 100 to 200 people. But you know, there's that variation of this is what it is. This is so. And what do we do with it? So that's why we're actually inviting you to listen to the CD of Michael Beckwith after this service, because he has some very powerful message to give on envisioning and manifesting, not only for the center, but for your own life. So whether or not you're talking about love, relationships, health, healing, prosperity, or growing the center and having it be here for future generations, that particular CD will be very interesting and important for us and for you. So when we're looking at mountains, know that when we're talking about all these principles, it works in every area of our life, whether it is physical, whether it is emotional, whether it is relational, whether it has to do with prosperity. And somebody might say, well, what about spiritual? Well, it's all spiritual. All of that is spiritual. We can never step outside of our spirituality. So what happens when good people have seeming bad things happen to them? They grow in consciousness. You know, a person could say they become better people, but I don't even like to say it that way. They grow in consciousness if they're willing to move through it, if they're willing to, you know, learn something about themselves and others, if they're willing to be transformed. That's what happens to people. If you know, when I think about some of the things that I've gone through in my life, and I think, I wonder what kind of minister I would have been if I had been raised in a real loving family, that my mother told me she loved me often, and that my father wasn't an alcoholic, and he used to make me kneel when I was a bad girl. And I'll tell you something, I was a good girl. But whenever I did something that he didn't think was right, I had to kneel for hours. Now, I wonder what kind of minister I would be. I wonder what kind of woman I'd be. I wonder what kind of mother I would have been. I wonder what kind of person I would have been if I'd had that kind of an upbringing. I wonder how I would have been different if I hadn't been sexually abused. I wonder what kind of person I would have been if I'd never had that near-death experience. See, all these things have made me who I am now. And everything that I'm living through right now are continuing to make me who I am. And anything that I will go through in the future will continue to make me who I will be. And it's always another level of the unfoldment of consciousness of who I am. So when I'm giving you these examples, I'd really like you to look this week, especially when you leave the service. And this being Sunday, hopefully you'll have some time off if you're not staying for the CD. And, you know, look in your life. What kind of challenges have you had? Did you hold them as problems, challenges, and maybe even call them mountains? How were you through that? Did you fight, argue? Did you flight? Did you move away from them, not discuss them? Did you freeze? How are you now after having had those challenges? I think if you look deep enough, you could always say that you've grown. That you've grown. And, you know, we could say that we learned something. We learned what to do. We learned what not to do. We learned maybe how to say something a little differently. We learned not to say some things. Those are good things to look at. And it's not about, you know, putting a cap on yourself and not being who you are. What I'm really speaking about is for us to really be real, to be authentic, and to allow support in, no matter what you're going through. Tell somebody that could make a difference to you, not solve your problem, but somebody that would hold you higher than maybe you're holding yourself at the moment, so that they could support you in consciousness in and through that challenge. But it's not about going and telling everybody about your challenges. Ever noticed, have you ever had an acquaintance, I won't call them a friend, an acquaintance that you didn't want to ask them how they were? Because they tell you, but they've already told you that, and they've told you that several times, so you already know. I think we all experienced people like that in our life. So I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. It's, you know, to be vulnerable enough and to allow intimacy into your life enough, into me see intimacy, so that you share, but you share in a way that allows the support to show up, and that you allow the support to assist and serve you when it does show up. Because, you know, sometimes people say they're alone, but people will show up in our life, and it's really the infinite presence and power, God, if you will, showing up, assisting and supporting you in and through as that person, as that new situation, as that new opportunity. That's the way it happens. That's the way it happens. So are you willing to really move through mountains in your life now?
Yes.
Yes, a couple of you are, a couple of you aren't sure. I'm here to remind you that the center is here to support you through that, no matter what it is that you're going through. I was just visiting a couple people in hospital couple of days ago, and I thought, you know, we've had a very, very healthy center. You know, very seldom do I visit people in hospitals, because very seldom are they in hospital. But it, you know, it really made me think about that and be really, really grateful that way. So I hold you in high esteem. I hold you, knowing you as a spiritual being, knowing that you can surmount any challenge that may come to you individually, knowing that we can overcome any challenge that may come to us collectively as a center or as a community and as a country in our world. So I always like to close by saying namaste, and that's Mahatma Gandhi coined the word, and it means, and I'm paraphrasing this, God presence and power within me acknowledges God presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Thank you.